And the court further ruled that Iandazi was not obligated to reduce the height of the townhome to maintain the original roof line. So, you know, that really, let's see how foolish that would be. If you have a, you know, one-story cottage and then decide that you're going to use the same footprint, which people can do, but you couldn't possibly keep the roof line down to the same because the other, it just couldn't. It doesn't make any sense. So, in any event, I think that's about it, and this has not been a good day for me, so sorry. We'll be back with the sports guys after the news.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Friday, while delivering remarks on expanding health care coverage options for small businesses and workers, the president says the U.S. will never become a socialist country.
Socialist health care would crush American workers with higher taxes, long wait times, and far worse care. Their plan would eliminate Medicare as we know it and terminate the private health insurance of 180 million Americans and even more than that now. On my watch, we will never let that happen. We will never be a socialist country.
The man was convicted last year on charges of conspiracy and attempting to aid a terrorist organization. Prosecutors say the Jordanian citizen adds to plot to fly to Syria and train with ISIS. Iran is denying any involvement in attacks on tankers in the Gulf of Oman. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh my gut! We need to talk about something. Constipation, abdominal pain, and bloating. You tell yourself, well, it's not that bad. You take laxatives and modify your diet and exercise routine. But thinking about it all the time is frustrating. This doesn't have to define you. If your constipation comes back again and again and you don't know why, then it may be time to seek help. Go to ohmygut.info where you can learn more about your symptoms and get to know your gut. That's ohmygut.info. ohmygut.info. At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Press Secretary Sarah Sanders is leaving the White House at the end of the month. Former White House Communications Director Sean Spicer discusses with Fox News the press and the Trump administration.
The job of a spokesperson is to speak in the absence of the principal, in this case, the president. There's no question that this president engages on a very regular basis with the press corps.
The Pew Research Center reports the percentage of dads staying home to care for their children has increased dramatically. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
Fatherhood in America is changing as the share of fathers who are stay-at-home dads is now at 17%. That is up from 10% back in 1989. Men ages 20 to 35 called millennials was found by the Pew Research Center to be at 6%. By comparison, 3% of Gen X dads were stay-at-home with their children. The CDC reports that 74.7 million men ages 15 and over our fathers in America.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders is leaving at the end of the month. Now, she's been with the president as White House Press Secretary for about 3.5 years. Some members of the press are happy that Sanders is leaving and almost celebrating and saying she did the job a disservice. But why is that? Heather Higgins is the Independent Women's Voice CEO. She joins Fox News with some insight on why she believes conservative women are often routinely bashed in the media. Meanwhile, liberal women are always held up on a pedestal.
So I did a video for Prager University, which outlines the techniques used by the left. For the left, they glamorize, they elevate, they minimize and do damage control if there's a problem. For women who are on the right, they use these techniques like omission, labeling, mocking, all in an attempt to dehumanize and to treat with contempt so they don't have to actually deal with the art.
Higgins also contends,
remember, for the left, all politics is personal, right? And the personal is political. And so it's about delegitimizing voices that they don't approve of. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders had the temerity to not only be a conservative, but to work for Trump. They hate Trump. Therefore, anybody who's working for him is going to get slammed. Mm-hmm. And you see this across the administration.
For more news, check us out at usaradio.com or on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, good afternoon. Let's talk about the weather that's starting out this weekend. It's changed somewhat, not necessarily for the better. Tonight, mostly clear. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of about 81 degrees. And then Saturday night, there's about a 30% chance of showers. What's happening on Father's Day, a day that everybody likes to celebrate? We now have a chance of showers with thunderstorms. Also possible after 3 p.m. Partly sunny with a high near 81, but then there's about a 50% chance of showers, especially later in the afternoon. Likely showers and thunderstorms before 9 on Sunday night, and then showers likely on Monday and Tuesday. So that's the weather. So I guess people who are celebrating Father's Day outside may want to take another look at that weather because you might have to move undercover. Tomorrow, of course, looks like it's mostly sunny, beautiful day. Get outside. We all need to get outside. I'm Pat Smith's program, It's the Law. Bill won't be here today, but I'm hoping John will come in any minute. Promised he would be on time, but we know how that goes. Anyway, I have to comment on the news, and this is, of course, my personal view, but, you know, the comment from Fox News as to Sarah Huckabee Sanders being attacked by the left, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever your politics, I think it's important sometime to watch Fox News and then watch MSNBC or CNN because they're... You can't believe they're talking about the same story. However, the one thing about Sarah Huckabee Sanders is, as I recall, and that's not her fault, but as I recall, there hasn't been a press conference in about 95 days. So it just stopped. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not news coming out of the White House, but for some people, that really is not what they've expected. They've expected to have press conferences, and that way the tough questions can be asked and hopefully answered. And I think that the one thing I'd have to say about Huckabee Sanders is she's been a good spokesman for Trump. And whether, you know, you like what she says or not, and I'm not saying that I do, but it is, you know, pretty consistent with his line. And, of course, we shall see who the new, you know, press secretary will be. Probably doesn't make much difference because we hear what we want to hear, and the president tells us what he wants us to hear. So in any event, that was a slant on the news that I thought was interesting. But what do we want to talk about today? Well, I think that what I'd like to talk about and is the tragedy, you know, with Red Sox legend David Ortiz, or as he is so known as Big Poppy. Of course, he's one of the major players who came out of the Dominican Republic, and you'd have to, if you listen to sports news at all, you had to certainly know that he was shot, and very seriously shot, and luckily was actually the John has just come in, and he's on number three. John, I'm just talking about Big Poppy, and I thought that it would be a good...
How appropriate that I should walk in.
Well, you're not
anyway,
the Big Poppy.
And good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, most unfortunate incident. There's a couple of different versions of what happened. What's obvious is he was shot in the back in a mob-style hit in a nightclub in the Dominican Republic. Setting aside for a moment political issues, it's just very unfortunate. He's a beloved figure here and there. You know, obviously there was some kind of personal thing involved. Why somebody would put a hit out on him, who knows? But he's doing better. Clearly, it's a serious injury. He's in guarded condition. He should survive, and it's going to be real interesting to see what happens. Somebody was speculating, well, you know, you're a wealthy person. This is not unusual to happen, even in the U.S., let alone in the Latin countries. Why not have a bodyguard? And I think he's one of those guys like, hey, wait a minute, I don't need a bodyguard. Come on.
Well, he's incredibly
fortunate.
Yeah, and he's incredibly popular. You know, I was in the Dominican Republic recently, and you know, every kid and every young person who plays baseball. I mean, the latest apparently is he is in stable condition,
yeah,
and he's recovering. But he had, you know, 6 hours of surgery. Of course, after surgery in the Dominican Republic, because they did surgery down there,
right,
and then. You know, but he's now out of surgery. He had to have other surgery when he came here. I thought it was very classy that the Red Sox sent their plane or sent a plane,
yeah,
to pick him up and bring him back to Boston.
And there's been an outpouring of good wishes out of New York, L.A., you know, towns that have every reason to dislike him because of his sports performance. But, you know, this transcends sports. We're talking about, you know, a great figure. He has been a humanitarian figure. He's philanthropic and so forth, and an inspiration for a lot of young people. So, yeah, just a tragic situation. But like, Pat, so many things we see in sports, we try to make a positive out of a tragic or a negative situation, and maybe that'll happen here.
Well, and interesting, it was a 25-year-old. Apparently, he has said that he wasn't targeting David Ortiz.
Well, they have
you know, he was
he
captured.
Comes up behind him and sticks the
yep.
gun right in his back and shoots him.
Well,
I mean,
He said he was trying to shoot somebody else. Not that that would be better, but apparently
that's his defense, Your Honor. I wasn't trying to kill that guy, Ortiz. I was trying to kill another guy. So you're prosecuting me for a homicide crime against Big Poppy, and that's my defense. I don't know.
And apparently, he was, captured and beaten by the people in the crowd.
You would not want to sell that guy life insurance. Assassin is, he would probably be unsafe anywhere. It wouldn't surprise me if they're holding him somewhere. It wouldn't surprise me if he turns up in not so great condition.
Okay.
It's not that that's right, but it's very unfortunate.
Well,
anyway, on to the real.
Well, but wait, couple more.
Okay.
Since you are such a Red Sox fan.
And I just came back from Boston. I was just there last weekend,
five days ago. So, where did Big Poppy play in the majors before Boston?
Minnesota.
Of course. I can never get John.
That would be like me trying to throw a trick Green Bay Packer question at Pat.
No, he probably
I would
do
never
better.
Be heard that either. So Pat, we have our respective bastions of glory that nobody can challenge us on.
Well, let me ask you, because his statistics, what do you think? 541 home runs. How do you compare that to a lot of other
players? Well, I mean, that's certainly Hall of Fame caliber, 500 home runs.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I think there's only been about 20, 25 people who have done it. I understand that there's this concern that he hit a lot of those home runs in the steroid era when there is some disputed evidence that he may have even for a brief time taken steroids, but he's a big guy.
He was huge.
It's like the Bond situation where if you ever see his rookie card, he was about 165 pounds when he came up. And when he retired, he was like 240 pounds. I mean, that's night and day. David Ortiz was always a big,
huge guy.
And that was always one of my arguments with Roger Clemens as well. Clemens was a horse. Big guy, won 4 Cy Youngs before he ever took any steroids. And, did it help him get healthier faster? Yeah. Did it make him a better pitcher? I'm not convinced, especially towards the latter part of his career. Now, you have other instances in which you have players who hit 15 or 20 homers, and suddenly the next year they come out and hit 50. Well, I mean, that is a huge question mark and evidence that maybe they were taking steroids and so forth. But, players like David Ortiz you've got probably most of the players during the steroid era who took something, not really even knowing or trying it or whatever. So the point is 500 home runs, it used to be an automatic entry into the Hall of Fame. Now you have to look a little bit closer. But I think the thing that will get him in, Pat, is the fact that he was a money player. He won 3 championships for a team that hadn't won in almost a century. And that's why I think they savor 2018 so much in Boston. Again, I was just there 5 days ago. And obviously the team's a 500 team this year. They're not playing well. Although only 6 or 7 games out there. They're certainly within striking distance, but I think they're a wild card team. Now, I think they're not conceding the division this year, but they've just had too many injuries and too many subpar performances out of the pitching staff. But having said that, in Boston, they really, truly value 2018 as the first championship they won without Big Poppy. You've got the same thing that's going to come up with the Patriots, who won 6 Super Bowls with Brady. And, speculation is Brady's going to play 2 more years. Everybody's waiting for him to retire and then see what Belichick can do then. And there's a school of thought, Pat, that Belichick won't hang it up when Brady retires, that he wants to win one without Brady. And, again, I think that is a similar sentiment, which is, we don't need that one guy. As much as they revere Big Poppy in Boston and basically credit him for the 3 championships, And he was, in large part, responsible for it. Not as much in 07 when they had a loaded team and you just had so many great players in that 07 team. The 04 and 13 teams were definitely led by him. Just like the 18 team was led by J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts. There's just no question. Surrounded by some other good players. But you had two players who were two of the top three players in the majors on the same team. And were going against each other and vying for the MVP.
Well, you know, the other thing that you talked about, the alleged positive performance enhancing, that went back to 2003. And he played until 2016.
Correct.
And
yes.
Was, you know, 10-time All-Star for up until 2016.
Yes.
Had the 7-time Silver Slugger Award. So it was, you know,
well
it was
beyond
well beyond that. It was
allegedly
10, 15,
correct.
10, 12 years beyond
yes.
that. So
yes.
That's the kind of thing that I think that...
that mitigates
I think it does.
Substantially these allegations.
I think it does, because it's not like all of a sudden after those scandals, then he dropped off and he was nobody.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's why, to your point, Pat, I think that's why people... dislike Alex Rodriguez so much, because once he got caught and he stopped taking, his performance dropped off dramatically. And he was near the end of his career, like David Ortiz,
mm-hmm.
but Ortiz continued to hit 30, 40 home runs
oh, yeah.
long after any evidence that he took. And there really isn't any substantial evidence that he was a big-time user. I put him more in the category of like Andy Pettit, who said that, you know, when he was in Houston with Clemens, you know, fellow Texan, he got him to take it a few times, whatever. Ortiz has never really commented on it except to say, I never took steroids to any extent, to any great extent. So I think that is really in the background, A, because everybody likes him, B, because of his performance. People don't like A-Rod. For lots of reasons. Although, you know, watching him on TV on Monday Night Baseball, he has done a very credible
yes,
job.
He does.
The incredible, if you will, chutzpah, he gets on there and touches stuff that you're like, wow, A-Rod is actually talking about this stuff. I've actually come to respect him a bit more since he's retired. Plus the fact, I revel in
yeah.
the fact that
you're just like
years as the Yankees, he killed him. He killed him with that big contract, $40 million a year, and produced practically
yeah.
nothing.
You just like him because he's with J-Lo. Come on, let's be honest.
I'm not a J-Lo fan either,
no, but you like to look at the two of them.
Credit, yeah, I suppose. I will give him some credit, Pat, for having, to some degree, rehabilitated himself. And he does a pretty good job on TV. I mean, he is a very bright guy.
Yeah.
But anyway...
Well, I have to say one other thing that
yes.
I always liked about Big Poppy. Every time, apparently, that he crossed the plate after hitting a home run, he would look up and point...
To God.
Well,
in
tribute to his mother after she died, because she died in a car crash in January 2002. So apparently... After that, that was to his mother.
That
at least is what
you
they
know,
say.
It's interesting, Pat, if you look now, and I know it's more popular with Latin players who are obviously Catholic, but a lot of the players do that. If they're not Catholic, they don't bless
right.
themselves and point up. But a lot of the players now point up as a way of saying, hey, God help me do this. And the Latin players obviously are more emphatic with it, with blessing themselves as well. But I didn't know. In fact, now that I think of it, I think I did know and had forgotten
mm-hmm.
about. It's also a sign to his mom.
Well, and as you know, I mean, obviously he was beloved in Boston, etc. I don't think that any of us here can really understand. Just the importance of baseball in the Dominican Republic. I mean, we all know that there are a lot of Dominican players here,
yes.
but these kids are just, I mean, that is, of course, that's one way they're going to get out of poverty, too.
Correct.
But
the game is just extremely popular.
And, of course, if we ever had my husband on, he'd tell you why, historically, they became baseball players. But the other thing that I noticed...
I'm sure you'd rely on me for that.
You would. But the other thing is, you know, you tend to think that, you know, you made a comment that I think is really right, that David Ortiz was always a big guy. So it wasn't that he was very small. I mean, he could never have been a jockey, put it that way. You know, you would, whatever the players used, and it was unfortunate, but it was so common, not only among the professionals.
And everybody is going to have that stigma, but, you know, it's also been said the pitchers were taking, and many of these players have said, we had no choice but to use some of these enhancements because the pitchers were.
Good point.
A pitcher who threw in the high 80s, low 90s 10 years ago was considered a dominant pitcher. If you don't throw 95 and above now, you're going to get hit and you're not going to be considered a dominant pitcher.
But the same thing, look at what's happened in tennis.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean,
they're all muscle bound. Yeah.
And I mean, even in women's tennis.
Well,
I mean, now
we started that, even though they're Americans, and I have to look to them as one of the few bright spots in American tennis in the last 20 years. I've never been a big proponent of the Williams sisters because of the what I still believe they were taking something. I just don't understand how you can be that big. On a regular diet, and even with diligent exercise, you know, that it sort of defies the odds. But
men and women.
It has become, they're all buff.
But not only that, the serves, I mean, you know, how fast they are.
I remember years ago, a fast serve was 150 to 120 miles an hour. Now I think the record is 148.
Which is... Now, unbelievable. Well, but also, I guess one of the questions that I have, though, is what's the difference because of the equipment? Now, you know, what would...
The rackets are a little bit better.
I would say a lot better.
The stringing is a little... There's some scientific enhancements that have applied the laws of physics, which have improved the speed of the ball.
Well, it would be very interesting, I think... to see tennis matches with the kinds of rackets that, let's say, Arthur Ashe used all those years ago.
Yep,
and to see then...
These guys had to play with wooden rackets today. What would the game be like? And I think I mentioned this to you before, but for those of our listeners who weren't tuning in, the major difference between the old wooden racket and the modern prototype... synthetic rackets is that the wooden racket had string, the way it was strung and the resistance from the frame basically propelled the ball just in that one spot where the ball hit the strings. So you were getting the push off the strings from the point of contact. The rackets that they play with now, including my own, is a racket where the entire face of the racket depresses and then springs forward. So you get a significantly bigger push off the strings than you do with a wooden racket.
Right.
And that's just physics. That's just mechanics.
Now, is there any real changes in either the tennis balls or the baseballs that have any effect on it?
That's an excellent question. I'm unaware of any change in the tennis balls. It's interesting because we were playing about a week or so ago. Somebody had, usually when we show up and we start a match, somebody pulls out a can of balls, opens them, and we start playing. We have an unwritten rule that whoever opens the can gets to serve first. So, frequently, you'll have people competing. Wait a minute, I pulled my can out first, and I opened it. You just pulled yours out because they wanted to grab the serve. And we were playing with these balls that were very heavy. And we noticed it midway through the first set where people were missing shots. Somebody was saying, you know, these balls seem very solid and heavy, and they were a, I can't remember the make, I think it was a Wilson ball, but it was heavier. That we all got together at center court, and we were you know, kind of tossing, almost like juggling with the, and we noticed a maybe an ounce, a half ounce, but that means a lot. So yes, there have been changes made with the balls. The baseballs, on the other hand, as I understand, are made the same way they were made all those years ago. The difference is the mud they apply to them, which, interestingly enough, you know where the mud comes from?
Mudville.
A place in New Jersey.
Really? Where?
It's in South Jersey, and I believe it's in Camden County. And but we will find that out, and
okay,
we will come back to people on that.
Well,
we better hit some ads.
I guess we better, but, you know, one more comment. Funny thing is, I remember as a kid, we would buy a can of balls at the beginning of the summer.
And play and use the whole summer?
Use it for the whole summer.
Now, one set, boop, new can. All right, when we come
okay
back, folks, we're going to talk about two historical events that happened this week in sports.
Okay.
Be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Well, we're back with the sports guys, and of course, I'm sure you watched what happened in St. Louis the other night. That was pretty amazing.
In Boston.
That's right. But what happened with St. Louis?
But, you know, and I have a close friend in St. Louis. He's a Cardinal fan, and he and I were texting during the World Series in 2013, and he died a thousand deaths. And when this series started, he said, "Hey, our two great cities are going at it. I hope I get the best of you this time." And I was actually, you know, I mean, I'm a Devils fan. I grew up a Bruins fan, but I grew up in the Bobby Orr era, which is a totally different, that'll never be duplicated. And I moved to New Jersey, and the year after I got here, the Devils were formed. And I fell in love with that. I went to the first game when they beat the New York Rangers. I said, "This is my team. Anybody that beats the Rangers is my team." So, and I was here for the three cups. But, you know, I go back. I was in Boston, had dinner Saturday night with all my cousins who were going to the game, who went, had been to the game on Thursday when they lost game five at home. But then they, the night came back and won it. In convincing fashion, it's amazing how the last three games the visiting team won. But you know, St. Louis, this has got to be a record that never happened before, and it will likely never happen again. And that is, on January 1, St. Louis had the worst record in the National Hockey League.
Really?
The worst record. And you know, they wound up winning the cup. But it stands for a couple of things. Number one, that you never give up.
Yep.
You never give
Absolutely
up.
Not.
Number two, hockey, because of its four rounds, gives a much more level playing field. I've always maintained that, let me get this straight, we play 81 games to get one game advantage. It doesn't make sense to me. I've always believe, especially in hockey, where the home ice advantage is so important, which makes the last three games of the series all the more important. For those of you at home that don't understand why, the home team has the last change. So they can put their one, the visitor has to put their line up there, and then you get to match it the way you want. And that's why it's a big advantage, home team. Which, but if you're a good team that can change in transition, what you do is you put a line out there, and if the home team has a big advantage, a mismatch, let's say you put your checking line out there, and they've got a big line. Well, what you do is as soon as the puck drops, whether you win the faceoff or not, you try to send it down the other team's end, and then immediately get a line change. to neutralize right. that advantage. But that's not always possible, especially if the faceoff is in your end, so you're in the defensive zone, and you lose the faceoff. Now they've got the puck in your end. You don't have time to do a line change.
But am I right? I mean, their goalies seem to be unbelievable.
Yeah, it's you know, and that's the thing about hockey. In the years when the Devils won, Brodeur was invincible. Other years where, you know, when the Islanders won four in a row, Billy Smith had four of the greatest years, yet nobody talks about him. But he was one of the, for a few years, one of the great goaltenders, money goaltenders. And, you know, for Boston, it was interesting because going into the Game 7, I was there this past weekend, and we were at Fenway. Of course, Fenway always has a lot of visitors because it's a main venue for people want to go to. Fenway, Wrigley Field,
yes.
I guess Yankee Stadium too. Those are probably the three parks that people want to see.
Mm-hmm.
If you took a poll around the country from people in the not-so-big cities,
mm-hmm.
Where would you want to go? I guarantee you 90%
yep.
would say Fenway, Wrigley, and Yankee Stadium. Those are the three. Anyway, so you're always there, and I happen to be at the game with my daughter Allison on Saturday against the Tampa Bay Rays, and there were a lot of people around us who were from out of town, and I overheard a number of people saying, oh, I hope the Bruins lose. We don't want to see a third parade in Boston in a couple of months. And the rest of them, you heard that on the radio,
yeah.
the sports shows. And it would have been the first time ever.
Yeah, it really would have, from that standpoint. But I think everybody had, all the people who were not real Bruin fans, it had to be, you know,
oh,
St. Louis, the first time,
no,
you know,
question.
It was like,
yeah.
and I really, you know, when I first heard it, I thought, yeah, you're right. They have never won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, in fact, they've been in the finals four times and lost all
right.
four. And, yeah, good for them. You know, I've been to St. Louis. I was there in 2014 with my buddy, who I mentioned
mm-hmm.
before, my buddy Sam, who's a Cardinals season ticket holder, invited me out there for the Red Sox-Cardinals interleague game in August of 2014. And we had just a wonderful time. And I think I mentioned to you on that show, it's been years, but I was there for a few days and went to the courthouse where the Dred Scott case was held. You can walk right in the courtroom. And it's a historic, they call it the historic courthouse, much like we have right here in Flemington,
mm-hmm.
less than 100 feet from where we are, right, sitting right here. They have a historic courthouse in St. Louis where the Dred Scott case took place. It's just amazing when you stand there and look in that courtroom. And that was the court of original jurisdiction. Obviously, the Dred Scott case went all the way up to the Supreme
right.
Court and stands for a very negative mm-hmm. proposition.
Yep.
But the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that with the court of original jurisdiction.
I didn't realize that.
Was, yeah. And it's the whole courthouse is a shrine to the case and what happened. And it was an important part of American judicial history. And it basically stands for the proposition that, you know, people can make mistakes. Courts, even the high court, can make mistakes. The court reverses itself and, you know, has done so on many, many occasions. Which is why, as you know, when you do legal research and you find a case, what's the first thing you do? You shepherdize it to make sure that case hasn't been modified or overturned. And when you look at, you find a great, how many times, if you think back, until you'd be researching, writing a brief, and you find a case right on point, and you start writing, and then you say,
okay.
brief outline, let me go shepherdize these cases, and then you see a big O next to your case, and you're like, oh my God, this case was overruled.
Yeah,
you hope it's been overruled on other grounds for other purposes, but
anyway. that's getting into the legal area, but the, you know, the, but St. Louis, they just have to
beautiful
be thrilled.
And you know, it's interesting, Pat. I was accepted to law school at Washington University in St. Louis.
Really? You applied there?
I applied and was accepted. And when I got my acceptance letter, I was, you know, telling my parents, Gee, I got accepted to Washington University. My mom thought that was Washington,
D.C.
And that wasn't true, Dad. And then when my dad says, wait a minute, isn't that in St. Louis? And I said, yeah. And the next thing he did was, of course, there was no Google in those days, but he got a map out, and he mapped it. My parents figured I was 1,300 miles away, and they said, you're not going to law school in St. Louis.
Is that funny?
And
oh,
course,
wow.
My filial sentiments were such that, okay, Mom and Dad. And, of course, the whole world would have changed, literally in some respects, had that decision been different. But great, great school and great city. There is also...
See, now, I grew up in the Midwest, and I was never that thrilled with St. Louis.
The world's largest chess piece sits on the sidewalk in St. Louis.
That I knew.
In front of the World Chess Center, where they hold a lot of important tournaments. And somewhere there's a picture of me leaning on this chess piece, which is about 40 feet tall. It's all made of oak. And it sits there majestically, and it's an unbelievable thing.
Well, I just was pleased to watch. I did not watch all of the games, but certainly that last one. And, I mean, is that goalie always been that good? Oh, I have to just ask. Is that has their goalie always been that?
No, this guy was just came out of nowhere.
That's what I thought.
The most common in hockey, you get some guy nobody's ever heard of, gets hot and he rides into a Stanley Cup.
Because
it's happened before.
It really looked like, I mean, if you looked at the shots taken, maybe I only saw part of it, but it really
Boston.
Looked like Boston was overpowering
them. They
basically
outplayed them, but St. Louis had the hot goalie. Now, the last time you had something like this was in 2012 when the Los Angeles Kings won their first cup and rode a young goaltender who had only been in the league a few months all the way to the Cup. And unfortunately, that's a bitter memory for me because I thought the Devils were going to win that series. And that was a series in which they had home ice advantage because they had a better record than the Kings. But they lost the first two games in overtime at home.
Yeah, that's tough.
That was a 2-0 deficit, and then they had to go to L.A. They dropped game three, went down 0-3, and took it all the way to six games. They almost made it back. But that was a very, very unfortunate series with a lot of bad calls and could have went the other way.
Well, when you see a rookie putting up with that kind of pressure, well, I mean, that was...
It's like Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl.
No, please.
Very similar to 2001, where he comes in and starts his first game in the Pittsburgh City, where he didn't even start that game. He came in for an injured Bledsoe.
That's true.
And rode him to the Super Bowl. So you do see
instances
of this.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just think that in football... there's much more
there's
of a
so
team
more, you're right.
Effort.
There's 21 other players that have to play.
Yeah.
Well. You're right about that.
So that that's right. Why I just thought that this this young goalie was just and
you're
I mean
right.
I mean the fact that he didn't crack at all. I mean when you thought of I mean there were some saves that you know I actually thought oh that had to go in and then you looked in to see that he had actually saved it. So all right, the next big thing happened last night, right?
The next big thing happened last night when the Toronto Raptors dethroned the Golden State Warriors and actually won the NBA championship, their first championship in franchise history, and it was the first championship won by a Canadian-based team in 20 or 30 years.
Well, and I watched part of that not yet last night, but I watched some of the other. And, I mean, you just thought that Golden State was unbeatable at some point.
Well, they had so many injuries. I mean, as
right.
it is, they took it to 1 point in Game 6. And if Golden State were healthy, they're clearly the best team. They would have won it in 5 games. But as it were, they were injured and still took it to Game 6 and only lost by 1 point.
And I'm blanking. Who came back? Who had been out so?
You know, I don't remember all the stars either, and I'm not a big NBA guy. But, you know, suffice it to say that they had a whale of a run to the NBA Finals and then stood up to the Invincible Warriors. So you got to give them a lot of credit.
Well, I'm wondering if that's going to make basketball more popular in Canada. That you don't ever think of, you know, basketball in Canada. At least I never thought of basketball in Canada.
Right, exactly. I'm sure that it will have a very nice effect. Not certainly a huge basketball country, but...
Well, and the players weren't from Canada. I mean,
well,
come
it's
on.
Like hockey, when you win here, American-based team. 90, although it isn't as much in the NHL anymore, about a third of the players are American
right now. Right.
That's been slowly changing for the last 20, 30 years.
It has. And it's very interesting. You know, you look at baseball when we were growing up, when I was growing up, and...
It was rare that you had a Latin player. Now the majority of the players are Latin players, and of those, the majority are Dominican.
Well, and there's a reason for that, but I mean there were black players, but they were American. So a lot of the a lot of people will say, well, so and so's black, but
they're all American.
Well, but no, many of the black players are really Hispanic.
To be honest with you, Pat, I know many would disagree with me. Growing up in the '60s, it was American baseball, but nobody ever said, you know, oh, Frank Robinson, oh, yeah, he's a black guy. Nobody thought of him. He was
didn't.
A great player.
Well, except...
Bob Gibson. I mean, this, to me, and maybe it's just because I don't have racist tendencies, but I never saw these athletes in a racial context. I just never did. They're Americans.
Well, I agree, but I think that... that's not true.
I come from Boston, and we know,
and that's
we know the
not
last
true.
Team to have a black player on its roster.
Well, and I have to say, if you go back even to the '60s, what would happen in football when they played in the South? I mean, that was one of the things that I really liked about Lombardi. He absolutely refused to
segregate
his players. Yeah. In fact, he had players. He wanted players to room together who should room together, and it didn't make any difference what their race was.
Or have a wide receiver or maybe a center and a quarterback. Well, Vince Lombardi, aside from all his greatness, was a big family man. He was of Italian descent, and he was Roman Catholic. And I would like to think that those attributes went a long way in influencing how he treated people.
Well, but wait a minute. If you talk to a lot of his players, he didn't treat them that well.
Exactly.
And what, I can't remember who it was, but one of them, when he came to Green Bay, could not believe that Lombardi went to Mass every day.
Yeah.
Could not believe
so
it. And then someone said, yeah, but he has to go to Mass every day.
Exactly. That was the comment. Whereas Don Shula was generally recognized as a nice guy.
Right, right.
But they were, and there was a third coach. Oh, Hank Stram. Hank Stram used to have a priest on the sideline. If you look at the old films of the late '60s, the Kansas City Chiefs, great teams. They went to two of the first four Super Bowls, and they would have went to three out of five, but they lost to Miami in the Garo-Ukrainian last-minute double overtime field goal in the AFC Championship game. But there's a priest on the sideline.
Well, that may have been...
That
may have been a little superstition. You know, that, you know, you have to have your priest there, you know, God on my side, right?
But, you know, look at the teams we're talking about. Kansas City, Midwest.
Yep.
Green Bay, Midwest. And I think the Bible Belt, you know, it's an interesting part of the country. But, you know, it's funny, Pat, when you see people from that part of the country, you're much more apt to accept them as hardworking, God-fearing, fair people. I still think there's a lot to that.
Oh, I think you're right. And, of course, Green Bay, now I may be misspeaking, but I have actually think it was predominantly Catholic.
That area, I believe, was it had a high Irish.
Well, actually, it had Dutch.
Yeah, and Dutch.
Big Dutch population, yeah. Dutch Catholic population.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
And but in any event, well, let's play a couple more spots, and then we better say goodbye. We'll be saying goodbye quickly.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, we're back. It's John and Pat, and we only have a
couple of minutes.
Finish up.
Pat, what's going on with the OTAs in football, by the way? You know, folks, it'll only be a couple of weeks before we start talking football again big time.
Well, from what I hear, the Packers have been having competition.
Well.
Yeah, but their competition lately has been paintball.
Yeah.
They've been doing paintball and
the weather
has not been exactly great, so they were practicing inside. I think that the coach may be more pleased with the defense right now than the offense.
To me it was inexcusable to lose Clay Matthews. It couldn't How they let him go, I'll never know.
Well, I think they didn't want to pay him. He is at the end of his career.
Yeah, he wanted that one last big contract.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
They knew he was and I think, get one or two more. Yeah, I get it.
And I think he wanted to go back to the West Coast. He went to I thought he went to the Rams.
That's right, he went to the Rams.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought.
In fact, the Rams, when I was in Vegas in March, the Rams are top pick to get there, and this time to beat the Patriots.
And Jordy Nelson is coming back to retire, which is good. That to me, believe it or not, I was more upset when they let Jordy go
than
Clay.
Question.
I mean, I just
that was a huge mistake.
I think it really was. And
there was somebody like Aaron Rodgers.
He needed Jordy. Yeah. And Jordy was out there. Well, I've gone on and on and on. But not only that, he still worried the defense. So they always wanted to protect him.
Right.
Because they knew if he didn't, even if he only caught one or two balls, they were always worried about him. And I think that was a huge mistake. And I think with Aaron Rodgers, he needed somebody like Jordy. And frankly, my concern is that we can't have two or three years of building that team back up, because then Rodgers isn't going to be
correct
there.
You're there right now.
You can't be this can't be a building year. Next year can't be a building year. So that, from that standpoint, is unfortunate. Frankly, it seems to me the news right now is just trying to put together something.
This is easier, but I can still screw it up. I can poke the wrong buttons. I can fail to turn off the microphone. One day I said, oh, my gosh, I just sounded like a jerk.
Off.
And I looked down and my microphone's on, and I go, well, I guess I really am now a jerk. Because whoever's listening now knows I feel that way about myself.
Right.
But you know what? That's the spontaneity and the energy of real time.
Right. And it's the risk, it's the high wire that you play with, but it also makes it exciting to come in and do it.
Oh, so. It's such a rush. Yeah.